Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Well, I guess you've heard about it, and we've talked about it already. We just talked about it in a previous program, but now it's come to the point where a journalist has been taken, reportedly, you know, in the face of ISIS cameras and has been beheaded. And it's Foley. You know, he's a journalist, Foley. And James Foley, his mother had written a letter, you know, it's just horrific. We have to remember, this is what we were talking about. This is what, when I was talking about in the previous program about that her husband's being killed and her children's being killed. That's what they're happening. They're being beheaded. They're being buried alive, and she's being taken as a sex slave in northern Iraq and throughout the nations, but in northern Iraq and Syria. And they really believe this is if you have not yet gone to the VFN Torch, you've got to be able to go to VFNTV.com. And we need really just all this in one area. Hopefully we can get this. But we need to educate ourselves. I believe it was Thomas Jefferson that said, you need to read the Quran. You need to know what it says. And we're not a reading, we're kind of an illiterate generation. You know, is there a video on it? Is there an audio? Do you have the highlights? Right. Is there the cleft notes on this whole thing? What's the bullet points? You know, but the truth, the bullet points literally in the Quran is, for those that take it literally, is that one of the most intimate terms is Allah is as close as your jugular vein.
Yeah.
As a sword at your jugular vein.
Right. Wow.
But you can compare the two. We have the Bible right by the Quran, and you can actually compare the scriptures and you can look at it. We have a video. I mean, if you don't want to look at the Bible next to the Quran, if that's too much, you can actually go watch the video and it'll show you how their beliefs are the opposite of Christian beliefs, which, you know, they can believe like that. But the whole thing, you can't behead us and believe like that. You can't rob from us and hurt and kill us and believe like that. But if that's what you want to believe, you know, we're not saying you don't have a right to believe that, but we have a right to actually believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the only way to God, and every other way is a thief and a robber. And it's just a tragedy. And we're getting so desensitized because of this constant bombardment. And when you look at, Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky, the things that our president taught, I believe, for 4 years, and that he worked in as a community organizer, which former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton did her term paper on and was mentored by Saul Alinsky, who's the author of the book Rules for Radicals. One thing that it says, keep a relentless bombardment, a constant, from my own words, don't let up. You cannot let up. It's got to be one thing after another thing. It doesn't matter, you know, according to Marshall Gantz on the Bill Moyer show, organizers are schizoid. You have to be schizoid, he says. And so everybody's arguing the belief of an organizer, you know, and it's like the organizer doesn't care. I mean, just as long as it's another bombardment, another crazy thing going on.
There's another one coming.
And as Alinsky tactics go, I mean, this has been a very well played out, you know, 101. It was amazing.
Textbook Alinsky.
Textbook. I mean, textbook in America, textbook in the Middle East, textbook with Gaza and Iran and Russia and Ukraine and the United Arab Emirates and not United Arab Emirates, but the Arab League, with Turkey, with I mean the world. I mean, it's the world. It's amazing.
By name them all.
I mean, the president of Iraq just got replaced using these forms of tactics. And either you can take our word for it, and we'd rather you go and read and see it and listen to it on the VFN Torch. But we're not just saying something.
Right.
This is written in a book. But the thing about this particular book, it's dedicated to Lucifer. I mean, it's dedicated to Lucifer. It says the very first one that used these tactics, let's give a big shout out to him, because he got his own kingdom out of it, Lucifer. And so the tactics do work if you don't mind being bound in hell forever with weeping and gnashing of teeth. and you get the pleasures of your little kingdom for a day. But I mean, you can't say it doesn't work because people are so easily manipulated. But God's people, this is what God says. He says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Hmm. And what we try to do at VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, we really, because we are you. And we've looked at years and watched what was going on. And we're going like, really? we went from the problem to the next problem and talked about it and tried to logically explain things. And then we realized when actually God told, let us know, what was really going on. And we went on a journey just learning about what this is all about. And it's just basic tactics that was used in the throne room of God, in the presence of God.
Amazing.
That Lucifer used these tactics and he organized in the presence of God, mind you, 1/3 of the angels against the creator of the universe. I mean, rest assured, they probably didn't think that they were going to have to leave, heaven. But of course, you can't organize against God and that you're going to stay in the presence of God. And so we begin that journey of just understanding this, and it's like every single thing, and you these are intelligent folks. I mean, they are very well thought out, obviously well educated, much more smart. I mean, we have to depend. We're the simple fishermen.
Oh yes.
What's that God? Yeah. Oh, is this what's going on? but we're going to be releasing once it's fully read, because there's so much to it. And I think it's really, it's important to understand someone, why they're doing what they're doing. And former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton wrote a paper dedicated to her mentor, Saul Alinsky, who wrote the book Rules for Radicals. And it was sealed for years. And it came out, I think, in 2008 or something. Now I understand. And what it is it looks like to me, it looks like socialism, it looks like communism in the context, which is a really economic situation where in America, in a democracy, the people are in leadership. And then, socialism or communism, the government's in leadership and they know better. Mm-hmm. And so hence you have to have God in government for it to ever work out. It never works out. But when you read it, it's just, the parts that I've read so far is she appears to be, based on the words, and she wrote this, I guess, and she's in her 20s, obviously she's in college, a long time ago. And, she was a way for quote equality with everybody, and to everybody, nobody has a right to their property and these type of things. We'll be talking more about it, but it was just a man trying to figure out, or a woman trying to figure out, how things are best distributed. Mm-hmm. Redistribution, as it's been talked about, redistributing the wealth. Mm-hmm. And of course, as Americans, sometimes we can be so prideful that, we're thinking, that's right, you give their money to me. And we don't understand what's really being said. Is it needs your money, America, needs to be redistributed to the world, because America's poorest person's richer than 70% of the world's population. So when somebody tells you they want to redistribute the wealth of America, they're not talking to give that to anybody in America. Mm-hmm. You're already considered very wealthy. They're thinking about the ones that's been making your discounted clothes for Walmart. Mm. They're thinking about the ones who have been wrongfully treated to be able to give, a wealthy American a great price on something. Mm-hmm. And when you shop price, we have to really be aware. We talk about our history in America and the evilness of the clothing trade. Oh, okay. The cotton trade, where they make clothes from. That, and we could say, hey, we need to repent for what happened. And we do, the church does, for what happened in our nation. It still hasn't been dealt with yet. And not the world, but the church. But at the same time, you go down to a discount store and you never ask the question, how can you get a 10-cent shirt? The same way somebody got 11-cent ton cotton in the history of America, because it was slave labor. It was people that were being oppressed to produce a product for the world. America took over the cotton market because they enslaved the employees. So not employees, the slaves, the people. Mm-hmm. A people, their brothers. And it's like, we got to realize as Christians, as Christian
global Christians,
that it's, we got to think about that. We got to think about not only how we're willing, you know. And the big thing is like, hey, you know, I could wear this thing a lot longer than I'm wearing it. I can, mm-hmm. you know, I can, you know, get clothes that have been worn before. It isn't, you know, that's not a big problem. I could do things, or I could actually find a place who's treating their employees well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That their employees are not jumping from buildings like was happening over in China with Apple and the companies were.
Right.
And it's like, okay, but here we are on this journey and we're learning. So she was saying in her paper so far that, you know, what I've read, that figuring out how to do that, how to make things, you know, everybody a fair chance. The only difficult thing with that is one student in college writing his or her thesis is not God. And this is not American Express, right. You know, where, you know, Federal Express, where you can write a term paper and all of a sudden the world adopts it.
All right.
And that's how Federal Express began. But it's just understanding is like, but you can understand, you can connect with people like that. You connect with her. You can say, wow, you want fairness for folks. You want fairness for folks. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you can agree with. You can agree, at least begin to have a conversation with someone. And we got to quit dividing ourselves and let everybody divide ourselves. Like, wow. Because when Saul Alinsky found former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, he found her in church in Chicago. And he went back and began to mentor her. So her heart, that's her heart, it appears, mm-hmm. that's her journey. And so we, in the future, we're going to be breaking that out and taking a look at it. But understand that if we sit back and do what has taken place in the last 6 years, all the murder and mayhem and darkness fills the void. And next thing you know, we're seeing our own journalists, James Foley and Christians, beheaded, crucified, and sold into sex slavery. We cannot sit back and allow this to happen. We're going to go right into James Foley's report right here from CBN as we're looking. This is, it's horrific things that are taking place, which we've been talking about it, but it seems like the tipping point has hit. And now we have all the way from the Pope, you know, the papacy, all the way to Muslims in Lebanon, other Christians that have been pacifists are saying, truly, to be pacifist, this has to be stopped.
Yeah.
And the world's beginning to unite against this evil called ISIS. As a matter of fact, take a look.
100 Club. We're at war with a bunch of savages. The monsters who call themselves the Islamic State delivered their message to America, and it came in the form of a severed head. That band of blood-loving butchers released a video showing them decapitating an American journalist, and they threatened to behead another unless Obama ends the military operations in Iraq.
A growing number of political and religious leaders around the world are calling for action against the Islamic radicals in Iraq. Charlene Ahron has the story.
This chilling video released late Tuesday appears to show the 40-year-old American photojournalist James Foley on his knees with his executioner next to him, holding a knife in his left hand. Foley was a seasoned foreign correspondent on assignment for the Global Post when he disappeared in northern Syria. His murder is retaliation for U.S. airstrikes that have stopped the ISIS advance in northern Iraq. It's the latest outrage from the soldiers of the Islamic State.
This is a tragedy which is beyond imagining. There are no words to describe this kind of inhumanity.
Lawmakers in Washington say ISIS is capable of carrying out an attack on U.S. soil and warn that the president must deal with the militants now.
ISIS' method of diplomacy are beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions or live burials, and enslavement of women and forced marriages. These are evil people. They need to be defeated.
Across the globe, opposition to ISIS is growing. In Germany, thousands of Kurds, Yazidis, and others took to the streets of Hanover, calling on the international community to intervene. Religious leaders are speaking out, too. On Monday, the Pope gave his blessing to military action to stop the terrorist group. Patriarchs in Lebanon are also calling for action to stop the persecution of Christians displaced in Iraq. Even Muslim leaders are slamming the actions of ISIS. Saudi Arabia's top cleric says the group is Islam's number one enemy, and representatives of several Muslim organizations call the radical group a monster. Meanwhile, a group of religious scholars here in the U.S. are calling for the destruction of ISIS. The online petition signed by Reverend Russell Moore of the Southern Baptist Convention and others says none of us glorifies war, but warns that nothing less can stop the Islamic militants' campaign of genocide against religious minorities and unconscionable acts of barbarism against defenseless women and children. Charlene Aaron, CBN News.
Well, that's a courageous statement from religious leaders, and with us now is one of the signers of that statement calling for the destruction of the Islamic State. Professor Robert George is a member of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. He's been called America's most influential conservative Christian thinker, widely respected professor at Princeton. And Dr. George, I'm delighted to have you with us today. Could you tell us what led to that statement? What finally got you to that point?
It's the atrocities being committed against Christians, Yazidis, and other members of religious minorities, and even members of the Sunni majority in Iraq by the so-called Islamic State. These are tyrants and murderers. They commit rape. They torture. Their victims include innocent women and children. They include elderly people. And they are driven by a kind of fanaticism that means they cannot be negotiated with. They must be stopped. And that's why our statement at IraqRescue.org calls for the destruction of ISIS, the Islamic State, as a fighting force. Nothing short of that will do. We mustn't kid ourselves, Pat. Mm-hmm. These people mean business. They tell us what they're going to do, and then they do it. We would be fools to stop short of anything but the destruction of this military force.
You know, there was a time that religious leaders were pacifists. They didn't concur with war. But what you're saying is that this group is so evil that it just has to be destroyed, and destroyed means they've got to be killed.
Well, that's what we need to do in order to protect innocent women, children, and other victims, Christians, Yazidis, Kurds, even members, as I say, of the Sunni majority. All of these people are being victimized, and victimized in a genocidal way, being wiped out as communities by these monsters. This is not a case of us Christians or us Americans against Islam. As your setup indicated, Islamic leaders throughout the Middle East are calling for the destruction of ISIS as well. We have no choice here. We must join across international bounds. The United States shouldn't do this alone, but in solidarity with other nations across the globe to stop this. This beheading, this horrible beheading, is just a single example of what goes on hundreds of times, Pat, every day. In Iraq today, and they have no intention. ISIS, Islamic State, has no intention of stopping in Iraq. They mean to go on to Syria, throughout the Middle East, and they mean to carry out terrorist attacks in Europe and in the United States. These people do not idly threaten. When they threaten, as they have threatened, they make good on their threats. We must stop them now.
Well, I couldn't concur more. What do you think we're going to have to do? I mean, I think the president's a little reluctant to put so-called boots on the ground. Sure. We're looking to the Peshmerga to do the heavy lifting. Would you recommend more American troops, more deeper involvement to get this job done?
At this point, I don't believe that we do need American troops on the ground. The American public is very war-weary. We have not been happy about the way things have gone in Iraq. Many, many mistakes have been made. There's no point here trying to apportion blame between President Bush and President Obama or military leaders in Iraq. We need to be looking at what needs to be done now and looking to the future. I don't believe that we need American boots on the ground right now. I hope that we'll never need them. But we do need increased air support. We need airstrikes. The airstrikes defending and assisting the Kurds and the Sunni tribesmen and other fighters against ISIS have been useful. They've been very helpful. They need to be intensified. They need to be increased. We can also provide vital intelligence and strategic support to the Kurds and the others who are resisting ISIS. So let's do that. Let's join with the international community in doing that, and let's stop these people now. Let's hope it doesn't come to the need to send American troops. But if it does, we're going to have to stop them. We're going to have to fight them somewhere. Do we want to fight them in New York or in Washington, D.C., terrorist attacks, or should we fight them and defeat them in Iraq, joined with the international community? I say the latter.
Well, I totally concur. Dr. George, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
So it is amazing what has taken place. This is tragic. I know that James Foley's mother reportedly had written a public comment about her son, how much she loved him and how much joy that he had brought to the family. But think about what he's done. I believe in Lebanon, he was actually, not Lebanon, but another country, he was actually taken as a prisoner of war, you know, and he still went out to report again. And how would we know about these things without these reporters going out, and how, you know, grateful we are for him and for the ones that are out reporting the truth. And it shows us, it makes you think too, that if we were reported truth sooner, if it would have just been fair and balanced and just put it out there, and that the human nature across the majority of the earth, they're gonna be against evil towards human beings.
Yeah.
And it's when you start seeing the fact that the unity's starting to happen, where people are coming together for human reasons, that this is just indecent. That can't be done. But when you hear Lebanon is coming together for the Christians, and you saw this week's program, and you're watching, you know, Iraqi television. If you hadn't seen it, go to the VFNTV.com, go to the Torch and see where you're listening to Iraqis talk about, you know, Christians are good people. This should not be happening to them. And they were just in tears.
They said Iraq is their country is a rose and Christians are its petals.
Yes.
Pretty amazing.
Yes, yes. And so, you know, the reason why we're sharing this with you is not to put fear in you, but to put fact in you. You know, the fact that you know, God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We cannot just sit back and sit idly by and not even pray, not even, you know, maybe connect with Samaritan Purse, who's right there in Iraq, helping meet the Christians' needs.
We have a link for you at VFNTV.com. Go to the upper right-hand corner and look for links. And there's a link there for Samaritan Purse, and they're helping Iraqis with critical needs. They're helping them with those with food. And they're helping them actually flee for their lives. So they're helping kind of in three ways.
You know, the things that, you know, when we're talking, we're not talking about, you know, we're not getting our information from the world.
Right.
But we're actually hearing what the Lord is saying, you know, reading scripture and just soaking, abiding with God. And then watching how what God has shared with us, it's coming to pass. And, you know, what do we do with this? And one of the things the Lord has, and we shared this particular prophecy. Do you have that one of the at the White House, the audio where all of a sudden Kim Jong-un, the dream with Kim Jong-un at the front of the White House? Do you have the audio that we can play? Hopefully we can have that. If not, we'll play it in our next program to hear it. But I believe it was Isaiah had a dream about that. And it was very detailed. And one of the things that in this prophetic dream was that suddenly Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea, who you heard us talk about, Michael Padilla, Dmitry Dudeman's son, who had given a vision, a dream about Russia and China and North Korea coming together, saying why they made a covenant. Why should the American dollar, you know, not, why should that be the currency anymore? Mm-hmm. And they just de-dollarized China and Russia. Just reports are they just de-dollarized their trade between each other. So there it is. And so, but the other aspect of it, notice that North Korea, when you look at North Korea represents, it's like totalitarianism to the max. Mm-hmm. I mean, the people are not even growing to the fullest extent that a body can because they're so deprived of food and
life, they're like zombies. People report that they're like zombies there.
Right. And so in this, you got to hear this because you're looking at this whole thing about ISIS and it's a spirit. Remember, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. If you just look at this as people, then you're going to miss the whole thing that's going on. You're going to be surprised what happens because we're going to show you after this break, we're going to show you where somebody has stood before the White House, in front of the White House, with an ISIS flag. Mm-hmm. And somebody is standing in Missouri with an ISIS flag. And
someone flown a flag outside their home in New Jersey with an ISIS flag.
And a Guy Fawkes mask is showing up. And what that means, it doesn't mean that it means more than what you think it means, because the people that you see on the streets and all that, they're not the ones. It's somebody behind the scenes that's orchestrating all of this, is what the Lord has laid on our heart. And behind that, of course, is second heaven, you know, powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness. But when we get back, you're going to hear this awesome young man share a terrifying, a prophetic dream that was given to him. Remember this. In Acts, he says, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and you will have dreams, and you will prophesy. And this is God speaking to us. And how you know if it's true or not, if it comes to pass or not. So make sure you come back after the break so you can hear this, because we're seeing things come to pass. We're going to go right into a prophetic dream, because you're looking at ISIS, and you know, and it's great that the world is, you know, uniting against this evil. But we have to understand it's spiritual. When you understand how Alinsky technology or methodologies work, the whole point is to get everybody organized around something.
Mm-hmm.
And get them, it doesn't matter what they're organized, if you just get them organized around something. And what you're looking at is potentially Ezekiel 38, when, as we talked about, you know, in a former program, the prophecy where all these nations turn against Israel, takes 7 months to bury the bodies and 7 years to burn the weapons. And just today, as you're seeing all this thing unite, Pat Robertson with CBN confirmed that very, you know, he says to me, he says, this looks definitely like could be that very thing. And that's what, you know, we'd already prophesied about. And so it's going to look like, hey, they're all getting together and they're going to focus on ISIS. But all of a sudden, understand, ISIS is being focused on because of the evil that's being done to them and to their fellow citizens. But there's a commonality inside of Islam, is a hatred towards Israel. You're not everyone, but at least 15%, which is 300 and something million, right?
Right. Muslims.
According to Bridget
Gabriel.
Yeah, Bridget Gabriel. And so I want you to hear this real quick. Cool. So I'm just interviewing Isaiah here, as he's had this dream, and he's talking about with tears. The first time he told me this, I mean, he was just in tears, as he was just how real it was to him. And it's coming to pass. And he mentions North Korea. And remember, China and Russia has already they've de-dollarized the oil trade aspect of going on. And here, I want you to watch this. You got to quickly go to it so we can cover the other.
Later, because
This is Kim Jong Boo is actually chasing you.
Yes, both of them.
Oh,
and his translator.
So his translator and Kim Jong Un is actually chasing you from the house.
Yes.
Okay.
And then so his translator says that, so did you look under whatever it was called, shed or something? And then I said, he said something about, do you swear on your God? And I said, no, because we did look in there. So then his translator says you will be punished and abused for doing that.
So that was the first. Do you have the Bible back up again? So Kim Jong-un will say, he saw Kim Jong-un up under, when he was looking at this house, up under it, up under the foundation of the house. Rick Joyner talks about there's a fire up under the entire foundation of America. But he's seeing this, and so he starts running, and Kim Jong-un and the
translator,
runs after them. And what do they say one more time? What do they say?
They said, for your punishment, we will abuse you.
Okay, now we want to be able to catch up. And you get this in its entirety here. We want to hear the next part of this, because what I'm about to show you, what took place in front of the White House, according to CBN, and you're going to be really, really surprised in things that are taking place. Are we ready? Okay,
yeah.
Let's continue it on.
and tell us that part of that.
Okay, so when I ran into Washington, D.C., what basically was going on in the White House was making sure that everybody was okay and just to protect me, protect the president too. So they take me to this room as Kim Jong-un was walking in. Mm-hmm. So basically I see the president and he's by the window and he's telling me to help him jump out the window.
So what was he feeling like at that moment?
He looked very scared, very fearful, very frightened.
Because this conqueror was coming towards the White House?
Yes.
And he was looking out the window and he said, help me?
Yes.
And then what happened?
So then I help him jump out. And then I just decide to jump out with him, but he just leaves me.
Does he?
Like, leaves me.
Okay.
And I go back to my house, and then I tell my parents what's going on, and then this is not true, but they wouldn't do that to me. I tell them, and then they said, I hope that they abuse you and take you. Right. And I run to my front room. Remember, this is a dream.
Don't beat me.
And then I run to the front room where you walk in, and then I just start crying. Excuse me. So I just start crying and crying and just thinking about what they'll do to me. And so.
You know, and he says, you know, in the last days that people in their own household will turn against you. And so, you know, you're looking at what he represents in the dream is the church. And remember, pray for our president. Pray for him, because what God is showing in this dream is that the church is going to help him. He's going to look out the window, which I believe is a vision. He's going to get clarity. And he's going to see that this is not good, and it's the church that helps the president. It's the church that helps him at that moment, right?
Yes.
And then you start realizing that's a good idea to go out the window too, right?
Yes.
Well, praise. Well, so what would you say to everybody right now from what God has shown you? And that thundering is the voice of God.
Yes.
So what would you say? You're talking to all the family.
You can hear this see it in its entirety on the VFN Torch. We got so much to show you. You're going to be really surprised what happened right in front of the White House, according to CBN, what's happening in the States in regards to ISIS and this prophetic dream. So we're beginning to try to put all these things together. And obviously, you know, we're thinking out loud, praying out loud, just seeking the Lord together out loud. But notice that in this prophetic dream that came, and you can see the whole dream on the VFN Torch right there. We just appreciate Isaiah for sharing it. And the first time he shared it with me, we're sitting in a hotel hallway, and he's leaning against the wall, and I'm leaning against the other wall, and he's telling me this. And you have to understand, when God speaks to you, it's not some, you know, flippant dream. It's like you're just in this thing, and you're going through all these emotions, and you'll never forget the voice of God mm-hmm. when he speaks to you. And somebody pick Chris up. And then it was just a power. His tears was up in his eyes, and he was showing, you know, what was taking place as he was telling me what was taking place. And it just broke my heart. We both were like, ah, and you just got to know, Isaiah, it was just a moment. And of course, now he had more time to think about it when you're seeing it. But remember, I'm at Kim Jong-un in front of the White House. Who would ever think that? Mm. And his interpreter, in other words, whoever's interpreting for communism. Mm. For tyrants, you know, for dictators, both of them were coming after the church, coming yeah. after Isaiah and the president, which is the president, by the way, just for all the Americans that don't understand this, to come after our president is to come after America.
Right.
You need to pray for our president. You need to pray for Michelle, Sasha, Amelia. You need to pray for the cabinet. You need to pray for our Congress. This is our country. We don't want anybody coming after our president. Mm-mm. And when they're coming after the president in a dream, that means they're coming after the nation.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, you know, here he is, Kim Jong-un is in front of the White House in this prophetic dream. Well, look what just happened on CBN. You got to see this. You know, ISIS, who's making these threats now and beheading journalists, American journalists, because of what's taking place over there. Now, look at this. You're looking at the ISIS flag right in front of the White House. And this is what it says. Read that, John.
We are in your state. We are in your cities. We are in your streets.
Now go back to that again. And so you're looking at right here. Look at that. Communism's in front of the White House.
Mm, wow.
And you think, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, first of all, this is a huge deal. Why is somebody that hates America you know, standing in front of our White House. Oh. Understand that White House is your house. That's all. It's a people's house. Mm-hmm. It's called a house. And you're seeing them speak hatred out towards our president. Understand that's hatred towards America. And then you're looking at the, and we haven't talked in detail about this yet, but in the midst of what's taking place in Ferguson, Missouri, probably totally without the knowledge of, I believe, Captain Johnson, right behind him, you can see right here, you see the ISIS flag coming up right behind him. Well, it's not Captain Johnson, but you're looking at
MSNBC. That's Jake Tapper.
Yeah, Jake Tapper. And but the ISIS is there in regards to that. And what it is, you can say it this way. The mindset, the spirit, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And then you're looking at another aspect of what prophetically came to us, that what Guy Fawkes, we had an entire teaching on Guy Fawkes, F-A-U-X, F-A-W-K, what that actually means. And so when you see this fox right here, this is also at Ferguson, and this man is wearing it, and I truly believe that he doesn't really know what the full things behind it. But when you're being used to do things by the adversary, you don't have to know. It's what they're actually organizing. And but what God showed someone, we have it on the torch, you know, it's Tracy, that we were in 7 days of fasting and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We try to do that at least once a year to be able to seek the Lord for the year and what God's going to, you know, what he wants us to know and do. And one thing that he revealed in detail was, you know, what the spirit is behind this Guy Fawkes mask. And long story short, it's about blowing up government, destroying government authority. Just like you saw this week when in Love Park in Philadelphia, the city of love, they're actually stomping on the head. They're kicking the head of the police officer. And where are you hearing anything about that?
Yeah.
You got to see this. This is just horrific. These skateboarders are kicking the head of a police officer, and the reporters are having an angle of what they're worried that skateboarders will get a bad reputation. Well, this is what this mask represents. This mask represents a man who thought that King George, King James was lost it, and it shouldn't be a Protestant church, and that, you know, that King James Bible and the way of doing things, being loyal to England was the wrong way, that the Pope should be the one appointing all the kings and queens or whatever. And so he put dynamite up under Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the first or second meeting. This guy, Guy Fawkes, somebody who's in supposedly in the ministry was doing this.
Yeah.
It's always in the name of a God. And but understand, Jesus said, there'll be a day that people will kill you and think they're doing me a favor.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not him. That's not who he is. Mm-hmm. And so in this particular prophetic dream was, this man was orchestrating all these folks to, like, put this mask on, take this mask off, put this mask on, take this mask off. And everybody was just having a good time. And I mean, that's what you're really seeing. And people's like, hey, why work? We don't have a job. Let's go to the streets. Let's do whatever. And they're even paid some people to stay in the streets. So I'm not talking about the people in the streets. I'm talking about the people behind the scenes who's orchestrating that, so fueling this. And suddenly, when everybody else was just playing around with this, you know, putting this mask on like this guy you see right here in Ferguson, and we've seen it around the world, all of a sudden, when they put it on this last time, it morphed. It literally came a part of them, and they couldn't get it off. In other words, you know, you've been playing around with the devil long enough, Samson. Now you're had.
Mm-hmm.
And it totally took them.
Right.
It took all the folks, and they were at that point, they could not break free from that mindset. And where we're headed, if we don't repent, and the key is that you know, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The question is, do we believe that? Do you truly believe? I mean, think about this. When the Jews were held captive in Egypt, God heard their cries. He saw their oppression, and he set them free. Why? Because he's compassionate, not because they deserved it. And then he led them to a land flowing with milk and honey, and they had a choice to go in it or not. The first generation didn't, second generation did. But in the context of that, imagine being in the land that God gave you and now beginning to get an attitude that you don't believe anymore that this is a land that God's given you.
Right.
You no longer believe that America came from God, that God blessed it and God raised it up. And he gave us, he says that I will raise up a nation and I'll bless it. And if it turns awry from me, then I'll take it down. But now imagine a third generation that comes along at some point. And it's not the fact that they didn't say no to the promised land. It's not the fact that they didn't go in the promised land. These are people that have been living in the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, these guys start saying, yeah, I don't think this is of God. You know, I'm just, you know, fat on all the milk. I'm fat on all the honey. You know, I just feel, you know, it's kind of unfair. I think, you know, everybody should have honey. Everybody should have milk. And all of a sudden you put yourself as God and you start thinking about, hey, I just want to break down this country and hand it out. You know, and it's like, you were in slavery, in servitude, crying out under oppression. Your great, 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 understand where God's brought us from and what he's done. And then all of a sudden this generation, they're starting to believe that this country, God did not bless this country. I mean, do you even know, you know, God bless America? Do you even know the Pledge of Allegiance? Do you even know the Declaration of Independence? Anything about it? Do you even know the Bill of Rights, the Bill of Civil Rights? Do you even know these things? And think about it. The reason why is because this generation, the enemy is trying to convince so many people that the land flowing with milk and honey that's blessed so many folks, and that the world's saying, where are you right now in this time of Middle East crisis? He's trying to convince this generation that God did not give America to Americans.
Right.
So what do we have to do? We have to stop all that spreading of wrong lies and narratives, at least counteract it with the truth,
mm-hmm.
and begin to tell people, no, this is a land flowing with milk and honey. No, we didn't deserve it. No, God brought us to it because people cried out under oppression that they needed a place to be able to worship him freely without anybody controlling them. They did say, hey, we can't be up under a king that's not going to give us this kind of leadership. We can truly have a nation, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We have to now be that generation that says, wait a minute, we're in the land flowing with milk and honey. We are blessed amongst all the nations right here. They're crying out for us to come help them. And we got to begin to believe again that God has established us. Make sure you join us in the next program. We're going to talk about that because these are three generations, and we're this unspoken of generation that what happens, and one particular philosophy in China says, just wait for the fifth generation because they always lose what the fathers have gotten.
Wow.
They forget. They don't know where it's come from. But not us. I believe that we're going to begin to remember the wonders of the Lord and what God has done. We're in it. The question is, are we going to believe it and give God credit for it? God bless, and I'll see you on the next program. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.